Don't engage alone. We do this together.
Somebody clip this movie.
Welcome to Under Two Capes, episode 190. I am Jared. I'm here with Jay Heat and Nick. What's up, boys?
Flame on. How's everybody doing tonight?
So
the sky, the ceiling, probably screech here in about 24 hours.
Yes, exactly.
Congratulations on issue two. So the launch stream, that's already on at the time this goes live.
Heck yeah, can't wait. So today we are talking about our favorite comic book battles, the Titans versus the Gods. So who would like to go first and outline their list of their favorite comic battles? Jay Heat was first. What's up, Jay Heat?
Superman versus Doomsday. You got to start with the classics.
Oh, yeah, you got to go with the classic.
Superman versus Doomsday, Wonder Woman versus Zeus, New 52 X.
When did Wonder Woman fight Zeus?
No, not Zeus. Zeus was a baby in that story. Wonder Woman versus Hera, my mistake.
Oh, okay. She fights a baby?
Okay, so Wonder Woman versus Hera, Superman versus Doomsday. God, there's so many Batman battles to reference. Batman versus Superman, Batman versus Joker, but that's like a weekly occurrence at this point.
Marvel counts as well, but that's why I said comic book, and even indie.
Okay, Batman versus Spawn, X-Men versus Avengers. Mm-hmm. But that's only because that story has a special place in my heart as a kid. That's four. What's my fifth one? Hulk versus Wolverine.
Classic. The first appearance of the Wolverine. Yeah. Did Wonder Woman ever like actually fight Hera? I can't remember.
It was more of a philosophical battle. There was a bit of a conflict towards the end, but I don't think it was with Hera directly.
I appreciate you thinking outside the box, my dude. And yes, you got to go with like Dark Knight Returns or like the Superman versus Doomsday, because that was Titanic. It also showed what dweebs the Justice League at the time were, because remember, Booster Gold, Fire, Ice, Maxima, Bloodwind, / Martian Manhunter. But yeah, so there's that. So so on that note, Nick, what have you got for your favorite comic book battles?
Well, Jay Heat's still one of them, so that'd be the Superman Doomsday one.
Classic.
Probably followed it up with Batman versus Azrael, the climactic battle of
Nightfall.
Mm-hmm. Nightfall. I love that storyline.
Night's End.
It's the same event, man. It counts.
Let's give Jared half a point.
Do you want to be giving false information to my viewers, Jay Heat?
You're talking about it. All right.
Half information does not count.
Jared, do you just want to build a snowman? Get over with.
I don't get it, but okay.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Okay, Casper, continue on.
That's not Casper. Shall I just let it go?
Yes.
You walked right into that one, Jared. Mm. Come on. You walked right into that one.
All right, I won't let it hold me back anymore.
By the way, we have a very special guest joining us to Comics League. Let me, I have to find the right intro, Britt, so hang on for a second. Where is it? Do I really not have it on this show right now?
Fail.
Not have it? Hang on. This is one you clip fail. Okay, you know what? Okay, yes, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, making her grand debut to Under Two Capes, the co-host of Super Wonder Legacy, Britt. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
So we are talking about our favorite comic book battles, and Nick, were you done or are you good? Or like
I just named one of them. You wanted a top five.
Continue on.
All right. So next we got Teen Titans versus Trigun in a clawing match. But by the way, if you ever watch, if you ever read those issues, they are creepy as frick. Like they get really, really like dark and disturbing. But Raven,
they get almost as disturbing as the Batman the Animated Series comic book that canonizes Batman and Barbara.
Get him out.
I had to.
Get him out.
Yeah, Britt knows what I'm talking about.
Well, yes, I do. If you have read the issues, this is it's actually worse. I'll tell you off stream how bad it gets, but let's just say it gets borderline explicit.
My comic book bookstore has an omnibus of like the first volume, so I'll pick that up the next time I go there.
All right.
Nice.
What? Come on, Nick. That's
two. That's two.
Yeah. All right. So the next one I got is we kind of did our Phoenix Saga review a few weeks ago on Comics Watch, and I wanted to shout out the OG X-Men versus the Uncanny X-Men battle aboard the station. I can't remember exactly what issue it happened in, but it turned out the OG X-Men were robots. But it's kind of like that classic kind of old versus new, old
team. I like
versus
that. New That's team. Cool. I don't think it was in any of the stuff we read for the show, because I would have remembered that.
Yeah, because remember, I'm going off that weird CD that I had in the mid-90s. So,
oh, we all know Nick is known for his weird CDs.
We'll work on that, Jared.
No.
Hey, it's my show. I have the power, boys. I have unlimited power. Don't make me play the clip. I'll play it. Don't make me do it.
He played the clip.
Yes, I did. So, Nick, finish your list, sir.
All right. So, probably the first fight between the Violator and the Clown, because that was a really, really interesting Spawn? One. Yes, because the Clown is the Violator. So yes, you are correct, sir.
Yeah, but I heard Violator, and I'm like, there's only one comic book that could be possibly.
I really like it because, in the early parts of Spawn, the Clown is kind of like this joke. And you realize, oh, okay, he's actually someone. And he just curb stomp Spawn.
Mm-hmm. Britt, have you ever read Spawn?
No, I haven't.
All right,
my uncle has had issues, but yeah, I've never been too interested.
So it's
early
about
Spawn and is amazing.
Actually, when you think about it, it would be really funny. This would be a hell of a plot for a Super Wonder story, hint hint. But it's so he's a black ops soldier who's killed to cover up something. He gets sent down to hell, and then the devil goes, okay, I'll send you back, but you have to be my avatar and prepare the way for my invasion and become my hell spawn. So he goes, okay, because he wants to see his family again. So he goes back, but it's 5 years in the future. His wife is already married to someone else. And he's like, okay, screw you. I'm going to spend my days fighting the devil.
Oh, even better. They send him with partial amnesia. So he can't remember even making the deal. Also, one of my favorite moments is he discovers that he has hell magic. He can turn himself into a human, but he turns himself into a white dude. My favorite thing is what? I'm a black man, and it's just he turned himself
that is
the ultimate devil. F you.
Yeah, I know. He's like, wait, what? So
it's wait, I'm not Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So is that all for you, Nick?
Yeah.
That's four. That was four. He's got one more in the chain.
Nick is skimping.
All right, let me go into the memory banks. Let me open the rusty gates, if you will.
Dun, 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 dun,
all right. Dun, dun. I got it. The climactic battle between Spider-Man and the Green Goblin, aka the night Gwen Stacy died.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
That is probably one of the most famous, like a quintessential moment in comics, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So, Britt, so what we made this guy do, because he reached 400 subs, what we told him to do is he has to he had to read Sin's Past, and that's the storyline where Norman Osborn, about the age of
my PTSD is triggering.
He's like, let's say he's the age of like Donald Trump. Let's say that. And
no.
He has sex
no.
with a teenage girl.
No. No.
And that was my favorite comic book battle, because it was the battle between Nick and his sanity.
Oh, you're triggering my PTSD. Sanity.
Yeah.
You're triggering my PTSD. The therapy, now I have even more therapy bills thanks to you.
So
it was a 400 subscriber special. You made your bed, Nick.
Yeah, Nick, you're the one who agreed to do it. So, Britt, your favorite comic book battles? Super Wonder Counts.
Oh, okay. Well, most of my favorites are Wonder Woman. So
Of course.
So top five. So I'll say League of One when Diana is taking down all the League members.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was showed her being a strategist and mm-hmm. just knowing the weaknesses of, you know, the whole League in the sense of their mentalities, especially Batman, because mm-hmm. honestly, Batman's Tower of Babel contingency plans, those need to go. So for her to one-up him, yeah.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. It's kind of... Nick and I did a whole video on the whole prep time is BS topic, and let me tell you, included.
Yeah, that video actually is on fire right now. Like, dear God, you guys like that one.
Sweet. Well, yeah, because the minute you tell comic book fans you don't like something, like, Britt, you and I have mentioned many times that we don't like Lois Lane, and I've told you all my war stories from that incident.
And yet you keep poking the bear.
Yes.
Let the girl cook. Let her cook.
Yes, thank you.
Continue.
Well, with Lois, I don't like her. As a female reader, she doesn't relate to me because her independence, she doesn't actually have it as many people would say she does. She really doesn't. Her relevancy is only to be a love interest. If she's not, as the New 52 showed, that she doesn't have an actual independent storyline. So, yeah, I don't really see the appeal to her.
Plus, also, here's the thing. And, Jay Heat, you're rating Superman, right? Current Superman?
Yes, I am.
How whenever, like, they want to make Lois Lane relevant, they turn her into other characters? Like, right now, she is Perry White, pretty much. Last time she was Batman when she got in the Hellbat armor.
Pretty sure that was more of a mom moment, but I get your point.
No, but still, in order to make this character relevant, they do that. What's up?
You're also forgetting the best Lois moment ever.
Oh my god.
When she dressed as Wonder Woman order to spice things up.
No, it got even worse, Nick. So, Britt, have you ever read the Chris Claremont Superman and Wonder Woman story?
I've seen panels
of that, but I know the summary of it.
The story is, I read it because I was curious at first, because I'm like, okay, this is a Super Wonder story I haven't read before. So I go through it. It is the biggest crime against humanity. It is the worst comic Chris Claremont has ever written. What I mean by that is, so you have Superman and Lois Lane. So in this world, there is no Wonder Woman. I'll explain in a second. There's no other character. There's no Diana Prince at first. So what they do is, through a series of events, Lois is turned into Wonder Woman.
A stand-in for Wonder Woman, but you get the idea.
And then they basically imply that Superman is in a throuple relationship with her, and I believe it was Lana Lang. And I'm like, what the hell am I reading?
Well, that's one way to have both Clois and Super Wonder all in one very messy package.
Hey, Nick, that should be my 1,200 subscriber special. I have to read that story live on air. That'll test my sanity.
I could probably top it. I could probably top it, but I'm not. Not my show. Not my show.
Yeah, but
no. So, like, you no. Remember, like, you have to read the Batman Beyond story with Barbara.
I know.
Batman Beyond 2.0.
And then, by the way, Nick, eventually I'm gonna make you read the Tom Taylor Nightwing run because that's all Nightwing and Barbara.
No. Okay. No, he has to read the Rick Grayson saga from beginning to end.
I mean, Tom Taylor. Honestly, if I do that, I'm probably just gonna fall asleep from boredom rather than just cringe.
So Tom King, apparently this may or may not have been editorially mandated. I don't know at this point. More than likely. Dan DiDio has his personal vendetta against, like, all the younger legacy characters. So we had KGB shoot Dick Grayson in the head. Then he got his memory wiped. And then he became Rick Grayson. Nick, explain.
Okay, I actually need to push back. I did personally ask Dan DiDio about, like, Stephanie in particular. And he said he actually did fight for her. And he actually did.
Stephanie.
And he has no reason to lie about that. Like, why would he lie? You know, like,
I talking about Stephanie though?
But you said, like, the female character. So
no, I said younger legacy characters. I didn't necessarily say her.
Also, I just wanted an excuse to mention that I talked to Dan DiDio. So
well, of course you did. I talked to Gabe. Check the private chat. So suck it. Yeah, I know my name's not right. Yeah, exactly. But that's one of those occasions when stupid people not stupid people because Tom King has his moments of writing good stories. I enjoyed his Master Miracle, and I like parts of Heroes in Crisis
in a vacuum,
and I like parts of his Wonder Woman.
My opinion on Dan DiDio is Dan DiDio has legit made some very bad decisions.
Yes,
but I honestly believe he means well. Like, I honestly believe he's not trying to mess things up. I believe he's doing what he thinks is right. Are some of these bad decisions? Yes. But do they come from a place of incompetence, malice, or just bad whatever? No. Dan DiDio is not evil. He just has made bad decisions.
No, I never said that. But hey, Britt, wasn't it like Dan DiDio who, like, when Rebirth was happening, he was like, why are we going back to the way the continuity was before the reboot?
Well, sorry, go ahead, Britt.
Oh, well, he did because it felt like what Rebirth didn't do as well as New 52. He basically went, his first initiative with New 52 was no pandering to Tumblr, pandering to, you know, online chatter in the negative sense. But yet they did it with Rebirth and going back to, you know, the nostalgia trip. Which, and
we all know how that worked out.
So once they saw, I guess, the sales of that, he basically was like, oh, well, that's what we had to reboot for in the first place. And we went back to, you know, what didn't work. And he pretty much didn't say it outright. He just alluded to it. And your main focus was Superman's marriage, was, you know, the legacy characters. And because his 5G plan pretty much was dead on arrival too, the ship sunk.
Yeah, but yeah, and the thing about it, by the way, before I get to my picks for comic book battles, I'll bring up this one point. I said this with two people. I said it with Drew last night, Drew from Comics Elite, and I said it on a buddy stream today, who's like a big fan of like the Dan Jurgens Superman run. Here's my problem with that. So you know that Rebirth Superman and Lois story that I always allude to, that it didn't sell as it wasn't as sales successful. Okay, so you know my problem with that series, beyond the fact that it's a nostalgia trip, my problem is, okay, so Superman has been here since Darkseid first invaded, let's say, that to establish the time frame, and he never got involved. I can understand the first Darkseid invasion because he's like, okay, the Justice League has that, I'm not going to interfere there. But Forever Evil, when the Justice League are killed, or when the freaking Anti-Monitor shows up, you would think reminder, this is the Superman from Crisis on Infinite Earths who fought the Anti-Monitor. He remembers the Anti-Monitor. What?
Think of it like this. Clark is not the type of person to seize the spotlight. If he wants to see this new reality, actually, and John is in the picture if we're counting convergence, for better or for worse. So he wants a relatively normal life for John until his powers eventually manifest. So I could see New Earth Clark taking a step back to a degree. It makes sense.
But when the Anti-Monitor starts showing up, I think
at that's some the point Clark should have stepped up. At some point, Clark should have stepped up. I'll give you that.
That's where I'm like, the entire series, when you think about it, is a character. I'm going to make a video that the entire series is a character assassination against Superman for that reason. He wouldn't get involved. It's a contrived
storyline.
Well, yeah, that too. Thank you, Britt. But it's also, I'm like, wait a second. He wouldn't get involved if... Because remember, a tagline, the crime syndicate announces when they took over in Forever Evil, we've killed the Justice League. There's no one else.
That's because he wasn't there in the first place. I mean, no, they only kind of put them there when they tried to introduce them with Convergence.
No, I know. But my issue with the Rebirth story existing is that you put it in there. At least you should have showed that, like, he tried to get involved, but maybe it was, like, too intense. The action was too intense. He felt it would compromise Lois and John. No, they never touch on it in that series. That is a glaring plot hole for supposedly the Superman that everyone wants. Really?
New Direction Verse did this better. If you do not know what that is, check out the playlist in the description.
I've shown you, yes. So my comic book battles. Now, this is a list that I have heavily curated. It's not going to be all Super Wonder. There is a representation from Superman Wonder Woman because this is awesome. And I went to the painstaking work of making a PowerPoint. Because Britt knows I am the expert at making PowerPoints for shows.
So your superpower is PowerPoints.
No.
Okay, so moving on.
No.
So moving on. So no. My favorite comic book battle. So let's get started. My first Superman and Wonder Woman versus Feyre and Zod. Britt, you know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yeah. That is a favorite.
Volume 1 of Superman and Wonder Woman is when Feyre and Zod escape from the Phantom Zone. So our power couple fight them. So, Nick, what's going on in this top panel is Zod is shooting Wonder Woman with his heat vision. She blocks it with her sword, superheating that portion of the blade, and then presses it onto Feyre's face.
Okay. Which, to be fair, Zod is such a megalomaniac, he really wouldn't care in the grand scheme of things, but I get where the fight was going.
I mean, it was his wife, but still.
He just wants people to kneel before him, so.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, I felt that was kind of cool. Plus, it's kind of like an evil Superman. It's Super Wonder versus evil Super Wonder. Britt, what do you think as a resident expert?
But what stood out mostly is that Diana is talking in Kryptonese too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
that is the best part, that she learned their quote unquote dead language to basically, you know, and kick, beat them up too. And it really showed that if anybody has an issue with Wonder Woman being overshadowed by taking on Superman's roles, it's like, no, she's... She can basically handle them herself, yes, even better than Clark can, because she's a, you know, trained warrior, and she knows how to fight against. It's not just about power or strength. It's about, you know, strategizing.
Yep. Because remember, this version of Wonder Woman was instructed by the literal God of War. So she better know something about fighting. Next up. The Dark Knight Returns, Batman versus Superman. What can I say? I just love seeing, because when the BVS movie was coming out, I called that Superman was going to lose that fight, because when you're dealing with Batman with his contingency plans, at the time, I didn't realize how much BS that is, Nick. So I just want to clarify that. But it's like, plus, it's like, because what you have to understand about this book, this was the first time they actually fought, and this is why in every continuity, whenever they reboot, they will fight at their first meeting. That's it.
Or at least bicker.
Or at least argue. And when at least in the new 52, almost beat each other up. I mean, at one point, Superman goes, "Hey, Batman, you're out of stuff in your bat belt. I don't know what you're going to do now." So next, I have my favorite DC storyline of all time, the Darkseid War.
Before we go into that, I do want to say my favorite moment from Dark Knight Returns is Bruce's funeral. And like Superman walks past and he can hear Bruce's heartbeat and he just kind of smiles and walks on because like, yep, I knew it.
Well, he also smiles because as Britain, I know he's also going home to a very beautiful Amazon at that point. There you go.
Oh, so that is why you like Dark Knight Returns, because it's one of the few comics that canonizes the superior ship.
Yes. Thank you. Isn't this
the same verse that has Superman and Wonder Woman constantly bickering at each other in earlier storylines?
Nope. Okay, so we don't talk about All-Star Batman and Robin on this show.
Well, it's all a part of the same universe, though.
Yeah, it is. So I think it was best depicted in Dark Knight 3, and I love that image of... So Wonder Woman and the Amazons are fighting Kryptonians, and I love how she calls Batman, and she goes, "Hey, Bruce, the Kryptonians are about to attack," and she doesn't even get the chance to finish her sentence before Superman just zips out. He's like, "Nope, gotta go." And then when they reunite, because they haven't seen each other for, like, I think about a year or so, because he was encased in ice, long story, but... they hug, they like embrace, and like he's holding his child, and like he's all bloody, and she's like, "It's good to see you, lover, particularly like this." And I'm like, man, I love this version of Wonder Woman. This is fantastic. But anyway, Darkseid War. So this was the event that the new 52 was building toward for so long. What, Nick? Oh boy. Oh boy, the check lead chat. Oh boy, I'm not checking that right now. But
no, please check it. Please check it. It's wonderful.
Yes, it is. I'll share it in a second.
He's like, "What did Nick post it?"
Yeah, oh, I'm like, please. Oh no. So Darkseid War. This was the first appearance of Green Lantern, Jessica Cruz, otherwise known as one of the best characters of the new 52. This was when Grail, the daughter of Darkseid, emerges, and when we get the Anti-Monitor versus Darkseid, Batman on the chair, we get the teasing of the three Jokers, which we won't see for another, like, I don't know, like 4 years. It was the separation between the two. And
editorial withstanding.
My one problem with this, and Britt, you can back me up on this, is that there's a tie-in when it's a Wonder Woman tie-in. It's drawn by Frances Manapo. It looks gorgeous. But it implies that New 52 Wonder Woman still has feelings for Steve Trevor, and it looks like they're almost about to kiss, even though she's with Superman. Wasn't that weird, Britt?
Well, that was to coincide with the movie.
That was a synergy issue.
Oh, God.
Yeah, at the time they were starting to move towards DCEU type continuity.
Well, if the new 52 started to look more like the Snyderverse, but with Super Wonder, I wouldn't exactly be opposed to that. But still, I was like, and I love Superman. They're leaning into a kiss. Then Superman just grabs Steve's throat because he's inverted because of the Firebirds of Apocalypse. He goes, "Did I interrupt something?" I just love that. It's so good. And then in the regular book, Diana's like, "No, Clark, you need my love." And he's like, and I can tell in his head, he's like, "Weren't you about to make out with your ex? What is going on here?"
Well, it was written by Jeff Johns. So
I just want to say, I do like how the DCAU handled Steve Trevor. Like, you know, the time traveling, then she visited him in their retirement home. They had a nice moment. That I thought was fine.
That's about
it reminded as useful you of the Golden Steve... Age in a way.
Yeah, that's about as useful as Steve Trevor ever is, except for in the George Perez run. But that's just me.
Like, you know, sure, maybe if they spent some more time together, they might have fell in love. But like, it's like they had their time, and then she came, and like, they, you know, it's like I just thought that was that was nice way to do
Steve. No, Trevor. Because you know why? Because Bruce Timm was trying to push Batman with Wonder Woman, so he had to keep her single. But I love
Britt. And Paul Dini was like, nope. Nope, that is not happening. I am literally writing an episode to say that it's not happening.
So Nick and I are rewatching all of the episodes of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. So we just did the Little Piggy episode where Batman rejects Wonder Woman. And it's written by Paul Dini. So I said on the show, it's almost as if Paul Dini is trying to tell Bruce Timm, stop it. It's not going to happen.
Oh.
That was so good.
Okay. I actually need to make the meme where it's like, stop making something happen. I'm going to, instead of Regina George, I'm going to put Paul Dini's face under Regina George's face. And it's going to say, stop trying to make Wonder Bat happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, it's kind of funny. Britt and I, Britt, myself, and another super under shipper on Twitter got into an argument with like a hardcore Clovis fan. And this is the type of person that said she boycotted the entire New 52 and didn't read Wonder Woman, but yet felt qualified to talk about the character of Wonder Woman.
Okay, Abernet's not the... I'm not the biggest fan of Abernet, but even that alone voids your argument. Because Abernet's Wonder Woman was pretty solid for the most part. Like, surprisingly so.
Yeah, but the point is, I'm like, this person didn't read Wonder Woman, but yeah, comments on Wonder Woman. And the funny part is that this argument went on for so long that Britt stepped out, and then she sends me a DM on Twitter. Are you still arguing with that person?
Wait, how long did this go on for?
About a day and a half.
Yeah,
there are better things to do with your life, like talk about how super wonderful it is.
Well, yeah,
Dan Slott would disagree with you on that.
Oh my gosh, don't even.
Speaking of
Marvel, I have one battle from Marvel that I brought up that I needed to bring. I realize now, looking at this, I labeled this wrong. This is supposed to be four, but just bear with me. King in Black, Null, Venom versus Null. So the idea, Britt, is that you know who Venom is, right?
Yeah.
So there's this symbiote god who like controls all the symbiotes. So he invades Earth and takes over. So Venom gets imbued with the powers of a god at the end of the story. So he summons Thor's hammer and Silver Surfer's surfboard, combines them into that giant axe, and then beats the crap out of this god. It is
puny god.
To the point where he is cheese grating him on the sun. And I'm like, this is kick ass. And then for my fifth favorite battle, I'm going to have to go with Kingdom Come. That final battle of Kingdom Come where it's Shazam versus Superman. And by the way, Taladia couldn't make it, but he sent me his list. So I'm going to read it to you guys. He said Batman versus Superman. I'm assuming he means Dark Knight Returns. Cap versus Iron Man in Civil War. There you go. That's a good one. Kind of. It gets a little heavy-handed when the representation of 9/11 tackles Steve Trevor. Man, that's a Freudian slip. Steve Rogers.
Please, someone clip that. Somebody Steve Rogers, please clip that in post.
I just made Steve Trevor more useful than he is in the DC universe. But
oh, geez.
Avengers versus X-Men. So Jay Heady's got you on that. And then the Justice League versus Darkseid.
Justice League War or Darkseid War?
No, the first volume of New 52 Justice League. Because remember, he was the first villain.
Okay.
Which I see the problem with that. I'm like, okay, you start with Darkseid. Where do you go from there?
Wait.
Maybe go to the light side?
Okay, moving on. And then his mention is Kingdom Come. You see what I have to deal with, Brett, every week on this show when these when someone, I'm not going to indicate who, he's just is not really a phoenix, pretty much makes the worst puns of all time. And
in my defense, I regret nothing.
How is that a defense, though?
Wait, do we have that clip?
I regret nothing. No, I don't have Nick's brand on this anymore.
Oh, okay.
But
you have expelled me.
I do have this.
Dweeb.
There you go. But it's so those are our favorite battles. Drop below your favorite battles. So in the meantime,
I'm almost done with my masterpiece.
So I want to show one thing. So in the Comics League group chat, my good man Nick from the Phoenix Press shared a picture, Britt, and I want to get your reaction to this. Two, one. It's the Jim Lee Wonder Woman verse making out with Superman after arguing and saying, "I hate you, you make me sick." See?
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
It's very much the perspective is like Batman's perspective within this universe. So Frank Miller is basically the characters aren't themselves, darker. But yeah, the love and hate thing, I kind of like it because it just gives a different spice to the characters. But she softens. I mean, he basically just went for the stereotypical image of the Amazons, but Diana she softens, you know, after she falls in love and have her first child or whatever. So yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I love, if you look in the background, Plastic Man turned into a heart-shaped balloon. And I'm like, yeah, real subtle Plastic Man. But so
check leak chat again.
Oh, okay. No.
Oh my God. Oh, my gosh. All right. And Nick?
Jared, I did that for you.
Do I have permission to tweet this out?
I'm going to tweet it out first. You can retweet
it. So, Britt, behold Nick's genius.
Oh.
You're gonna piss. Wow. You have to put the Wonderbat hashtag in there, Nick. That is, you get prepared to get attention.
Honestly, I think only like two Wonderbat fans will kind of like come at you, but other than that, won't get too much, you know, pushback.
Yeah,
you know what I need to do? I need to take this. This has to be the intro for someone. And then what I do is I put the John Cena dan 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 with the Thug Life glasses come down on it.
But like, do you see what I put in? Like, I even had it so like the hat is like covering her. Like,
it's so good. It's so good. Nick, this is so good. The only thing that I kind of, the part that makes it funnier is you kept in the long hair of the girl.
See, I wanted to put in effort, but not too much effort.
Not too much effort, because that's about as much effort as Wonderbat deserves.
But, damn straight!
Oh, wow.
But yeah, exactly. Wait, did you do another thing? Oh, yeah. That was just that. But so, Britt, since this is your first time on Under Two Capes, I wanted to ask you, so why didn't you tell the audience why Wonderbat doesn't work, being someone that's as well versed in this as you are?
First, they never had any kind of like deep relationship connection, as we discussed, mm-hmm. you know, prior last week. It's pretty much if you want Diana away from Clark, you know, the second option, which is either default of Steve or any other random male character, and then it's Batman. or it's a Batman fanboy writer who tries to make them have a relationship, like Rucka. He wanted to basically change the Trinity dynamic of Batman having this weird admiration, jealousy of Diana that he wanted to turn into a romance, and then Diana to basically be like this teenage girl rebelling against her mom.
Talk about a bad romance.
And then you also have like Christopher Priest. He doesn't like Wonder Woman, so he wanted her to basically be away from Superman and turn him into a jealous, like, he wasn't even a jealous ex or anything. He was just jealous if she was with someone else, and she turned to Batman for comfort. That was it, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really superficial. It's no dynamic there. It's just, if you want to change the Trinity, you change her to be something basically like Catwoman-like or something.
Which, and it's funny because I was I was having a debate with someone in my comments section, so that's why I engage with this. But this basically was trying to say that Batman's a better match for Diana because he's rich.
So what you're saying is they were standing on the precipice of your achievement, not theirs.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what I responded with? So what you just admitted to me is that you think Diana's shallow. And then he was like, okay, that's a good point. And then he kept trying to say about how Bruce is more masculine than Clark. And I said, hey, listen, I get it. You're a Batman fan, but this is getting ridiculous right about now.
Have you seen the James Gunn's on Superman?
Oh boy.
The what?
The James Gunn's.
Well, that's okay.
But a little on the nose, Nick, but I get your energy.
A little on the nose? He has smacked that nose.
No, you smack it while saying expletives, and then someone poops the difference. That's how you do a James Gunn joke.
Yeah, that's true there.
The worst part is you're like, he's not wrong.
I'm trying to think about that. Well, all right, speaking of pooping, I thought an interesting thought. Jay Heat joined the battle. No, Jay Heat, it links to that. So I was watching Invincible today. I basically binged through the entire show, and isn't it kind of funny how according to comic book movies, they really don't like people named Amber? Think about it.
Jared, you really crapped the bed on this one.
And okay. Nick with the resume. God damn.
And then Britt's like, what the hell is going on here?
I really am.
Yeah, welcome to Comics League.
Yeah, I'll explain off screen. But that was my revelation.
Jared, can we give her a This is Sparta?
Do I have that one? By the way, Nick, so I watched your MSK interview, and then when you brought up the Leonidas at MSU thing, I looked up that video. Yeah, that got me hyped up. So there's a video, Britt, of Gerard Butler after the movie 300 came out. So actually, you know what, Nick? Do you want to explain this?
Actually, let's just play the video.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I'll pull it up. So the MSU football team mascot. Explain that.
MSU, aka Michigan State University. So I'm a Wolverine, so like this is hard for me to talk about.
Wolverines!
Go blue!
No.
Viva la Michigan, you know, tail to
the point.
Sorry. So their mascot is a Spartan. I think you know where this is going. So they went to a football. So basically, there was a Michigan State football game. So you have like 60,000 people. This is a home game. 60,000 people, each one of them a die-hard Spartan. Like, they bleed green. I know, I've checked. Okay.
Apparently, they did it multiple times, because here's a basketball game.
I don't want to hear, like, the loudest roar ever, but Spartans! What is your profession? Who?
Yep. I'm like, there you go.
You cut it off.
If I ever have Zach, that's it. If I ever have Zack Snyder copyright on the show and it's a live show, I'm gonna say, so let's give him a Comics League welcome, and I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go, Spartans, what is your profession? And then hopefully you guys will respond.
Wait, could you imagine we ever pulled that off? Like, could you imagine?
Well, first off, I'm sure we could get Zack Snyder on the show. That'll happen.
Dare to dream, buddy. Dare to dream.
Dare to dream. Or as the CW would say, dare to defy. But I had to. I thought Jay just gets up and walks away. But by the way, Britt and I are trying to get Charles Sewell on the show. He wrote the original Super Wonder comic. So we're like, please come on the show. Please, so we can basically worship at your altar and say how awesome this series is. That would pretty much be it. And how Tomasi sabotaged it.
And you are never going to let that go, are you?
Britt, should we ever let that go, Britt?
No.
There you go. Thank you. So Taladia and I are reading through each issue of Super Wonder and then reviewing it. We legit agreed, let's just stop when it gets bad. So we're like skipping, I think like two, I think we're stopping at three, or like, or in other words, we're not reading the later Tomasi stuff that got really bad. So we're like, no, we're done. We're out. See you later. But you're not
reviewing the entire run. You're just reviewing the good parts.
Yeah, we're reviewing the parts that matter.
Editorial mandate or bad characterization? You make both. The call.
We're ignoring both. We're ignoring both. But the other thing that we're going to do, I want to start wrapping up. So I'm going to hype up what Britt and I are doing. So we're basically, let me find the proper clip for this. So what we're basically doing is we're doing it if we ran DC and did the new 52 reboot. And here was our, so in our private chat, here's how we're reacting. Yes, that is us.
Man, whoever gave you that clip, they have good taste.
That was something I grabbed when we covered Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
No, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. Spider-Pig.
And then essentially, we're going to go to DC and we're going to go.
You have something I want. You may think you have some idea what you are in possession of, but you do not.
I love how, of all the Mandalorian clips, that's the one you held on to.
Well, I have a couple.
Direction verse.
This is the way.
This is the way. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way. There you go. So yeah, man, we're freaking nerds. So we're gonna wrap this whole thing up. I want to bring up that tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this channel and on Phoenix Press channel, I'll be simulcasting, so it'll pretty much be on both. We are going to be launching Nick's comic Screecher issue 2. Nick, if you would like to pull up the trailer, you may play it. And actually, I just want to correct, it's tonight at 6 p.m. because this is going out on a Friday.
We're going to launch a comic tonight. And I'm not going to sing anymore because I don't want to get you copyright struck.
Here's what I think of your sang ability, Nick.
Wait, can we get demonetized for cringe?
Trust me. If that were true, we would have gotten demonetized a long time ago. The minute we say Wonder Bat, that's it.
Oh, so like this?
Nick, Jay, don't you dare. I have my thing hovering. Oh, so Britt, it's an inside joke that what they do is they just bring up Wonder Bat just to screw with me because they know it pisses me off.
I'm honoring the treaty.
Yeah.
I'm neutral. I'm not bound to anything. Y'all have not broken me yet.
Trust me, I will get you, Mr. Marville. So here's the trailer. Go ahead and play, Nick.
My name is Avery Fletcher, and I'm on a mission. After 7 years away, I am now home. But the home I came back to isn't the one I left. With my father jailed and my future threatened, The list of enemies grows ever larger. To fight the rising tide, I must become something else. A force for good. A force for liberation. I must become
the actual Screech. Nick was a really good touch, was a nice touch.
You can tell that to my editor, Lugsberg.
I love Lugs. That's awesome. But yeah, that is so good. But yeah, so that will be launched tonight at 6. I say tonight because this is going out on tomorrow.
Well, so the details on this is the stream itself starts at 6. We're launching the comic at 6:30. And it will be simulcast both on my channel and Jared's.
Mm-hmm. I feel, my shoulders are gonna get tired from carrying all this responsibility.
With great power.
So
great responsibility.
Jared, if it's really that hard, maybe I'll just give you one more day.
Well, do you want me to bring up your past?
No, look.
We got him. So, Nick, where can we find you, and what have you got coming out on the channel?
All right. Well, you can find me on the Phoenix Press.
Enough with the puns, guys.
No.
The show must go on, Jay Heat. Go on, Nick.
I will not stop the puns.
Nick, go.
I can barely contain myself.
Nick, continue on.
All right. So on Twitter, you can find me at Phoenix Press. YouTube, sure, it's the same. When this goes live, Screecher will already be live, but on Saturday.
Well, actually, no, because this goes up at 3.
All right, then. So, when you see this as it goes live, we're going live at 6. Comics goes live at 6:30. Who's streaming? Then you can catch me annoying the crap out of Jared on CLD that evening.
And well, then we're still Saturday, talking about Screecher.
Yes, and then movie night, we're talking about The Friendly Ghost. I'll make sure to. I gotta get you clips for that, Jared. Remind me tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, all right, I will.
So I'll give you some clips, because there's a few that like you'll want. And then on Saturday we'll be launching Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, which it'll be both Jared and my frequent guest buddy girl Nyx will be joining us. She'll be explaining all the lore, and Jared will be reacting like, "What's that? Like what? Like." Jared,
be prepared, Nick. I will be making Twilight puns.
That is fine. So I have a poll currently going on my Twitter, because you can choose like which vampire clan, and some of them do affect your gameplay. Currently, oh my god, look at Jay-Heat's face. Oh my god, I love it. Please, can somebody like take a picture of that and just make a meme? Because that is a meme worthy.
That has to be like a thumbnail or something.
Jay Heat, thank you. You have graced us with that face. That will come back. Jay Heat, that will come back to haunt you.
Can't be worse than Norman Osborn's O face, Nick.
So, are you done, Nick?
No. So, currently there's a poll going on. And right now, the Malkavians are winning, which that's the extra crazy run. That's where you get like extra crazy dialogue and weird and wacky stuff happens. Literally, there's a scene where you have an argument with a stop sign.
So you can become two wild and crazy guys. Yes, I'm old enough to remember that Saturday Night Live.
Screw you, Jared.
Well, remember, Nick, when you were of age, Saturday Night Live was shown on stone tablets.
Screw you, Jared.
Yabba dabba doo.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Fluff off.
Weren't
Fluff
you a neighbor off. Of Fred Flintstone?
Fluff off.
Okay. Jay Hee, where can we find you? What have you got?
Fluff off, you son of a biscuit.
Okay. Okay. Before we get to monetize.
Jared has the profanity filter on me, so I'm going to sound ridiculous.
Okay. As for me, now the SWTOR playthroughs are coming back. I recently did a review on Boruto Naruto Tubu Vortex, the manga. I recently did a video on that. As well as this weekend, God Killer 2 Aftermath.
Electric Boogaloo?
No, we already did Electric Boogaloo, Nick.
Basically, the fallout of a certain god killing a certain man of steel.
When are you gonna do? When are you gonna do Bendis Point? Fallout New Vegas.
We already did. So on my side, obviously, Britt and I are doing Super Wonder Legacy, where we're pissing people off with how we would run DC, which that's the fun part. If you're not pissing some people off in content creation, you ain't trying. But in terms of videos, I will be reviewing. Probably, I would say I'll probably do some more Invincible. I recently had a big uptick in interest in that series. In terms of movie night, we're talking about Casper the Friendly Ghost. So, man, it's a lot of your picks and movies. But let's see, what else are we gonna do? Oh yeah, obviously I have the launch stream with Nick. I have. Man, I do so much content. I have all the collabs.
You're a machine.
I have all the collabs. And, man, there's so much. The point is, I got a lot of content coming out. And by the way, next Thursday is the members-only live stream where we will be just chilling and hanging out. So, Britt, do you have any stories you want to tease or any content you have releasing?
Just the updates that I've already sent you of the sneak peeks. Of lots of Austria stories. I finally finished Zeus in the Ares story that you.
Oh,
yeah.
You mean, okay. I think I know the one you're talking about, which.
Yeah, it's going to be very much a father and son-in-law type moment.
Oh boy! Oh, this is gonna be awesome. Sharing.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. If that series went on in the New 52, I wonder if the awkward meeting of Clark meeting Zeus.
I would rather it just be Hippolyta.
Oh yeah, that's true.
She's Zeus. I mean, that Zeus was just a coward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really. And wasn't he like a baby? He hid away as a baby too.
I think he had to like grow. Hashtag rebirth. He had to be reborn. DC's obsession with rebirth. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the last bit is just keeping. Well, we were almost hitting 60,000 on the Instagram.
Well, you guys are doing the Lord's work, Britt. You are doing the Lord's work. So on that note, everyone, stay heroic. Sub to all these nice people. And we will see you tonight for Street Show.